Hey, thank you so much. Hey, you can take your seats. It is good to be in Murrysville today. Let me tell you, we've really been looking forward to this. Just a big shout out to Pastor Eric, to Rachel, who once again is headed to Guatemala. That's incredible. We love that part of the world. But it's an honor to be here today. We love Pastor Rick and Natalie as well. And again, that's my wife, Regina, over there. I'm married up, in case you can't tell. I tell everybody in our marriage, she obviously got the brains, and I obviously got the looks. And people tend to laugh whenever I say that, and I have no idea why. Still don't know why. But no, it's great to be with you today. I got to say hi to some friends real quick. This is Buzz and Carissa right here. They used to be in Mississippi, and in 2018, they moved back home, which is about 65 miles away. And we haven't seen them in forever. And so it's just a great reunion we had before service today. I used to do triathlon, Buzz did as well. We've retired, but we did Ironman races. And while I have the microphone and Buzz can't talk, I just want to mention that Buzz has never beat me in an Ironman race. He always hated it whenever I told everybody that. Normally something would happen to him and he would like have a flat or something like that on his bike, but you never beat me, Buzz. Just want to remind everybody in Pennsylvania. Are we ready to get into the Word today? How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. It's so rich. Now today, as we get into the Word, I want you to understand that I understand that everybody in here, in every seat in this room, is a different situation. This morning you walked in and you may be dealing with something really heavy. Maybe this week you received some news that just rocked you. Maybe it's something to do with your health, something to do with a child, your job. I don't know what it could be. But maybe you're carrying something very heavy in with you this morning. The other side of that coin is maybe you had a breakthrough this week, and so you are just up here right now. You're super excited about what God's done in your life, the favor on your life. But I understand that every situation or every person in this room brought a different situation in with them. You may be at a place to where there are some things that you've been contending for, some things that you've been praying for, but you've not seen them come to pass, and so you're almost at a place of having lost hope in that area of your life. Today we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at the story of a woman who, ironically, her name's not even mentioned in this whole story that's about her in 2 Kings. And we're going to look at a woman who basically was at a place of just feeling lost, like she didn't have any hope. She felt very insignificant. If you feel that way today, I want you to know this. The Lord's got your name. The Lord's got your number. Amen. He knows everything about you. He made you. He claims you. And he knows exactly what's going on in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows every detail about you. He knows everything that you're concerned about, everything you've been worried about. He's seen every tear that you've ever shed. I want you to know that today. He's very concerned about you. Now, all of us can probably say that we've walked through some season of adversity that just hit us out of nowhere. Anybody been there before? Like, you're just walking through a hard season. Honestly, my wife and I are dealing with this right now. Both of her parents are currently on hospice, simultaneously, in another state. That's something heavy that she's having to carry right now. We've all walked through these seasons of adversity. You didn't plan it. You didn't plan on it. It just hit you out of nowhere. And so as a result, you're carrying these new things. But today I'm praying that God's going to give you clarity about this season that you might be in and about your situation. The Word of God's full of truth. And so today I think that the truth in the Word is going to show us how we can navigate what we're dealing with. And I think God's going to speak to our situations. Amen. So are we ready to go? All right, so let's talk about this woman. Again, her name was not even mentioned in the story that we're going to talk about today. The prophet Elisha would come to town regularly, and this woman would always feed him. And then what we see is the fact that she didn't have any children, and so there was apparently an extra room in her home. And so she approaches her husband, and she says, "Can we take this room, and can we make it, you know, like a guest bedroom, so whenever the man of God comes, that he'll have a place to stay?" And of course, the husband says, "That's just fine with me." We've got to think about this. She didn't have children, so she had this room that was available for the man of God to be at. She prepared it. She let him know that he was welcome there. She welcomed him. She made room for him. Amen? And the truth is that a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I can't hear from God whenever I haven't been very intentional to make room for God in my life. Come on, y'all got to talk to me today. We've got to be intentional to make room for him in our life. We've got to set aside time for him in our life. We've got to have those moments where it's just us with him, just listening for him to speak to us. Amen? A lot of times we've got to turn down the volume of everything else in our life so that we can hear him. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever the phone rings in my car, the first thing I do is I turn down the volume of what I'm listening to so that I can hear the person that's calling me. That makes sense, doesn't it? We don't shout louder over the music. That wouldn't make any sense, right? So we have to turn things down. And too many times in our lives, I think we have so much busyness going on, so much happening in our lives that we've not turned that volume down to where we can hear from God. We haven't made room for him. But if we want a word from God, we've got to make room. Come on, somebody say we've got to make room today. And whenever we invite somebody into our house, you know, what we do is we deliberately make room for them, and that's what we've got to do for the Lord. So today, we're going to look at 2 Kings 4, verse 11, but the man of God, he comes whenever he's invited to her home. Let's look at verse 11. One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. This is the room that they had made for him. Verse 12, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Have you ever been at a place to where you were guilty of not accepting a gift that was given to you? I don't know about you, but sometimes, maybe some of the guys can relate. A lot of times whenever we go out to eat with friends, the other couple may say, "Hey, we're getting the check today," and something rises up on the inside of me that says, "No, I can cover our meal, right?" Or maybe it's the thing of, "No, we're going to get the check." And sometimes we have these knockdown dragouts in the middle of restaurants because we want to bless the other couple. Y'all ever been there before? There's times whenever we can be very good givers, but we can be terrible at receiving whenever God sends people into our life to bless us. And I want somebody to hear me today. God's going to send people into your life to bless you, and you just need to learn to say, "Thank you, Jesus," and just accept it. Amen? It's part of living a generous life. He'll show you how you can bless people, because I think every one of us, at some point in our life, God's spoken to us, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us and said, "Hey, I want you to do this for that couple right there, or for this person over here." Sometimes we're really good at giving, but we're not very good at receiving. So Elisha says, "Listen, what is it that we can do for you?" But she says, "No, my family has taken good care of me." Verse 14, later Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, "Next year, at this time, you'll be holding a son in your arms." Look at what she said. "No, my lord, O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." Don't get my hopes up like that, man of God. Today, I want us to look at four stages that this woman went through once she made room for the man of God. Y'all ready to go? So she begins at the place of lost hope. She begins at the place of lost hope. That's where she was whenever the prophet arrived. He calls her up and says, "What is it that we can do for you?" And she had this desire in her heart, but she had basically lost hope. She wanted a child. That was a desire that she had, but at the same time, she didn't want to get her hopes up. She had this dream for years, but she had lost hope. Whenever you look at the word hope, it's the joyful anticipation of good. Hope is the joyful anticipation of good. The idea of having a child, that joyful anticipation, like whenever you're really looking forward to something, whenever you know something's going to happen, it had gone away. There was no hope. She had absolutely lost that hope. And she knew Elisha was a man of God, but she didn't want to get her hopes up because this is something that she had been believing for years, but she had never seen the fulfillment of that dream take place in her life. God may be calling you to a place where he's ready to give you that thing that you've dreamed of. Listen, that thing that you've dreamed of, maybe the dream that you've already let go of. Let's just get real for a minute. There are some of us in this room that you've had dreams, you've had things that you just knew were supposed to happen in your life, but they haven't happened yet. And you've had these thoughts like, God, where did I go wrong? Or maybe they seem so far-fetched, but you knew you heard from God that these are the kind of things that you don't even mention to other people. Because you're thinking, they're going to think I'm crazy. Or maybe you don't mention it because it hurts too much. Maybe you're believing for a spouse. And you're thinking, you know, I've just come to the age to where if I'm not married by now, it's never going to happen. Maybe you've been believing for children yourself. Or maybe your marriage is an absolute wreck. And you've been praying about, you know, your marriage getting better. You've been praying for your spouse and you're thinking, well, we've been doing this for 20 years. It's not going to change. Maybe you've got a child that's not walking with the Lord, and you've been praying and praying and praying and praying that they come back to know the Lord, that the relationship's restored between you and them, but you've continued to pray, and every time you think about it, it just hurts a little bit. Come on, has anybody ever been there before? There's just that thing that you've been praying for, but you haven't seen the breakthrough yet, and sometimes it really just hurts to even think about it. Sometimes we don't want to get our hopes up. Whenever I think about losing hope, sometimes I go back to Thomas, one of the disciples in the Bible. Do y'all remember after Jesus was crucified, Jesus appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. And whenever Thomas shows up, they're like, Thomas, we just saw Jesus. Now, Thomas had a nickname. Do y'all remember what it was? Doubting Thomas? Y'all remember that? And I don't think that Thomas walked in the room and they're like, Thomas, we just saw Jesus. He's like, yeah, I doubt it. I don't think that was it whatsoever. I think probably the attitude was a little bit different. I think Thomas was absolutely heartbroken after the fact that Jesus had just been crucified. And so they said, Thomas, we just saw Jesus. And he's like, guys, don't get my hopes up. Don't get my hopes up. I haven't seen him. And guys, to say that you just saw Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to see it for myself. I think that's probably the situation with Thomas. But again, this lady was at a place of lost hope. Elisha told her that she'd have the desire of her heart. And she said, no, please don't. Let me say this to you. Don't say that your situation is over if God hasn't said that it's over. Come on, somebody needs to hear that today. The thing that you've been believing for, the thing that you've been praying for, the thing that you know God spoke over your life, don't say it's over if he hasn't said that it's over yet. Amen? He gets final word. Come on, he gets final word. And since God has the final word, she moves from lost hope into the second place, which is the place of promise. It's the place of promise. The miracle baby arrives, and she receives that promise, that word from the man of God. She receives it. So all of a sudden, she goes from this place of feeling like she'll never have a child to where she's pregnant. 9 months later, she's got a baby, and so she is living her best life. She is a mom for the first time, and she is absolutely loving life. But then one day, something happens. The child's with his father, and the child says, my head hurts. And so the dad did what every father would do. He says, go see your mom, right? Whenever we don't have the answer, what we go see your mom, right? And so the child goes to see his mom, and the mom's holding the baby, and right then, the baby dies in her arms. That wasn't supposed to happen, was it? I mean, she got the promise, but then this takes place. The worst possible thing happens. While she's holding the child dies. And so she's probably remembering, you know, I told the man of God, don't get my hopes up. Here it is, the promise came to fulfillment, but then the child has died. She has to be all confused with what's going on because, again, this was the miracle baby that showed up. Even after all these years of her believing for it, it finally happened, but then the child dies. And you may be in a season where you're in more confusion, or you have more confusion going on than clarity in your life. I want you to listen to me just for a minute. You may not understand what's going on. You may be at a place to where you just kind of feel numb right now. These are going to be times in your life where Satan is going to try to mess with your head like he's never done it before, and he's going to try to get you to question God's goodness. Now, we got to talk about this just for a minute, okay? Anytime you're walking through adversity, Satan's going to get in your mind, and what he's going to start doing is he's going to start accusing God. And he wants you to start doing the same thing. Whenever you go to Revelation 12, one of the names of Satan is the accuser of the brethren, right? He's an accuser. So what he'll start to do is he'll start to say things like, you know, if that God of yours that you served was so good, he would not have allowed that to happen in your life. Has anybody ever felt those kind or had those kind of thoughts go through your head? Like, God, I'm going to church. Lord, I'm reading my Bible. Lord, I'm doing this. Lord, I am Team Jesus, but why is this happening to me right now? Because we just sang a song called The Goodness of God, right? God, if you're so good, why is it that this would have just happened in my life? He'll get you to say those types of things. But we've got to understand that that's not the Word of God, amen? That's coming from Satan. That's coming from the accuser. And we've got to remember the Word of God. We've always got to go back to the Word of God. So John 10:10, which is a verse that I reference all the time, it says that Satan comes to do three things. Do y'all happen to remember what they are? Steal, kill, and destroy. Let's review. Satan comes to do three things. What? Steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus says this. He says, but I come that you may have life, but not just any life, that you can have an abundant life. Like a really good life. A kind of life that you love getting out of bed in the morning. Not the kind of life that you get up and it's like eat, sleep, repeat, and you just do it day after day and you don't live a life of purpose. No, Jesus comes that we have a good reason to get out of bed in the morning. We can be excited about what we're living for, the things that he's called us to do, and we can live with purpose, right? We can have that abundant life. That's what he comes to give us. But this lady, here's what's great about this story. The child dies, but she decides that this story wasn't over with. She decides that she's going to have to fight because she knew this was of God, and God had not said that this was over with yet, amen? So then she moves into the third place, and that's the battlefield. She was ready to fight because she had received the promise from God. She had unexpected adversity hit her life, but it did not mean that it was time for her to just give up and to shut down and to sit down. This was a time where she was going to have to fight. And I want to tell somebody today, you may be in a place where you're like, I have no more fight left in me. Let me tell you something. If it's from God, you got to fight for it. Because the enemy doesn't want to see it happen in your life, you got to fight for it. Come on, somebody. You got to get up and you've got to fight for it. And so what she does is she takes the boy in full panic. I mean, or she could have been in full panic, but what she does is she actually takes the boy back to the place where the promise was spoken. Verse 21, she carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and then shut the door and she left him there. She left him there. Now, I want us to think about this. Just for a minute, she goes back to the place of promise where the word was spoken, where the hope came from. She didn't just sit there flipping out. She didn't get online and tell everybody how bad her life was. She didn't throw the victim card. She didn't accuse God of being a bad God, right? What does she do? She decides that she's got to fight. She takes this lifeless child back to the place of where the promise was spoken. Any kind of complaining she would have done, any kind of whining she would have done, getting on the phone with her friends and just pouring out her heart how bad life was, any of that she would have done, all it would have done was just delayed her destiny. You know, the truth is that if we prayed half as much as we complained a lot of times, our life would look a whole lot different, wouldn't it? Are y'all with me today? Come on, anybody just been real guilty of complaining before? You know, things aren't going right, and you're not praying about it, you're just complaining about it. Whereas if we took all that energy and we started praying, then things would look a lot different, wouldn't it? And so she doesn't complain. She doesn't start to whine. She doesn't call all her girlfriends and start to say, y'all just feel sorry for me. Let me tell you about how bad my life is. No. She takes that promise back to the place where it was spoken. In what was probably the hardest moment of her life, she has to believe that God's faithful. She has to believe that, you know what, this was of God, and so I'm going to fight for it, and I'm going to see this situation turn around. It's whenever we're in places like this that we have to decide that we've got to fight. We've got to pray. We may have to fast. But let me tell you something, don't give up, amen? Don't give up. Verse 22, she sent a message to her husband, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Why go today, he asked. It's neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it will be all right. Come on, can we all say that together? It will be all right. If you're in the season that she's in, if you're in the battlefield right now, I want you to know, stick with God and it'll be all right. It will be all right. Verse 24, so she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, step on it. Don't slow down unless I tell you to. We've got to hurry. Amen. Notice, her husband had no idea that the child was dead. Think about that. The child was dead, and she didn't even bother telling her husband. This woman was moving in faith, right? Knowing that it was going to be all right. Those were faith words. Again, a lot of times whenever we're in a battle, we can be in a place of confusion. We can be in a place to where sometimes we speak words that we shouldn't speak. Y'all been there before. By the way, whenever you're walking through these types of seasons, there are times when you don't need to share this really with anybody except for people you know that have your back that are full of faith themselves. Listen to me, because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll go and we'll tell friends at work. You know, and they're good people, but maybe they don't believe like we do. They're not full of faith, right? Or maybe we'll tell those sister-in-laws or brother-in-laws or just family, and we feel like we need to tell family, but they're not full of faith, right? Or we'll put it online for hundreds of people to see, and then we'll read all their comments, which are not faith-filled words, right? And so what we don't need to do is to just share this with everybody. Because what will happen is with all their feedback, they'll just start sowing seeds of doubt in our mind. And then all of a sudden, our faith level just starts to drop as a result. You need to share this only with people that are full of faith. Just real talk. We've got an elder in our church, been an elder in our church for 25 years, since the church was basically planted. And his wife right now is not doing well. And so he called me yesterday. He didn't know I was out of town. He said, Pastor, he said, we're going to be out tomorrow. And he said, my wife just had a procedure, and it's going to be all right. And she's been dealing with something now for months. But they've been very careful. You know, a lot of people in the church are wondering, like, what's going on? Her name's Bobby. What's going on with Miss Bobby? And the thing is this, they want to make sure that they've just got that real close circle of people that are full of faith praying for her, right? Because they don't want to be receiving, they don't want to be hearing doubt. They don't want to be hearing about, you know, somebody's friend that dealt with the same thing and what happened to them. They want faith-filled words just spoken over them. And so we need to be very careful with who we're sharing our situation with. But again, she tells her husband that things are going to be okay. And she goes to find the man of God, the one who spoke the promise. She didn't stay in that state of mourning. She wasn't just in that place of paralysis. She moved. I want to share this with you today. Don't let a setback make a temporary place your permanent address. You got to move. We got to fight. Amen? We've got to battle whenever we're in these seasons like this. Sometimes these battles, they take a little while and they're not over in a day. God didn't call us to stop, but to get through it. Come on, somebody. But to get through it. Too many times we think that the battle we're walking through is going to be the end of us. No, the plan of God is for us to get through that battle. Amen? And some of us today, we need to stand up and get moving to get to that place that God wants us to get to. So verse 27, but when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi was a good assistant because he sees this happening, and he starts to like push her away. And the man of God said this, "Leave her alone. She's deeply troubled. But the Lord has not told me yet what it is." Now, Elisha was a prophet. Of course, he's the one that spoke it. And just so you know, in Old Testament, God would have different prophets that would hear from him, that would communicate with the people. They were his mouthpiece. And he had clearly heard from God, but God had not spoken to him about what had happened with the child. And so Elisha didn't know that the child had died. God wanted her, though, to have to take the steps necessary to get her breakthrough. And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to move. She didn't just wait on the man of God to come to her and say, "Hey, I heard that your son died. I'm going to pray for him." That wasn't it whatsoever. God wanted her to move, right? We've got to move. We've got to stretch our faith. We've got to fight for the breakthrough that we're looking for. And whenever Elisha asked her what her desire was earlier in Scripture, you know, she didn't have an answer. There was just no energy. There was no passion any longer for it because she had believed for a child for years. She had dreamed about a child for years. And whenever he asked, "What is it that we can do for you?" She didn't even have an answer for him. But here's the thing. Then she received the promise, and all of a sudden, some kind of fire is lit in her, and she begins to contend because she knew it was of God, and she was not going to let the enemy take that from her. Amen? Listen, some of you today, whatever it is that you're contending for, you've got to refuse to quit. Satan, you are not going to get the last word on this. We're standing on the word of God. We're fighting for this because we know it's of God. Amen? She was fighting for her future, for that promise that God had given her. So then she transitions into the place of blessing, number four. Because of her faith, Elisha went back with her, and there was this breakthrough in the very room where he spoke it. The child is brought back to life. Now, we live in a fallen world. Y'all know that? Come on. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's full of sin. We live in a world that's full of, unfortunately, hate and all kind of prejudice and all types of sin. But here's something that I want us to realize today is that, and you've probably heard the scripture before, Romans 8:28, that God can turn all things. Somebody say all things. He can make all things work together for your good and for my good. The good, the bad, the ugly in your life, he can make all of it turn for your good. And you may be dealing with loss today. You may be dealing with a broken marriage today, sickness today. But I want you to understand that God didn't send that into your life. I've got to go back to John 10:10 just for a moment. We said earlier that the enemy comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy, right? And so today we need to have some clarity just to remember that whatever this adversity is that you may be dealing with today, and once again, you may say, "Gene, things are good right now in life." But I know that every person in here, they got a different story. And so whatever it is that you're dealing with today, first of all, we've got to get our mind right and realize God didn't send this into my life. Amen? The enemy, that's what he's all about, stealing, killing, and destroying. But at the same time, there's times where we can also just mess up as well, right? And maybe we've made some bad decisions and got ourselves into a bind. Sometimes I like to call that the good old-fashioned spirit of stupidity. We have just made some stupid decisions, right? And we have got ourselves into a pinch or we've got ourselves into a bind. But here's the thing, God can bring us out of it. Amen? Understand, you're his child. He cares for you deeply, and even if you've messed up, he doesn't just sit there and be like, "Well, you've got to deal with all of this yourself." He's there to help you out of that place that you've got yourself into. Come on, somebody. He loves you that much. He wants to see the best happen in your life. And so you may be dealing with loss or brokenness, but again, understand that what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it for good in your life. So let's fast forward just for a moment, because this lady, she gets this breakthrough. She gets the breakthrough and her child is healthy and whole again. Her child's alive again. And again, she's living her best life. Well, shortly after this happens, Elisha actually tells her, your family needs to move because there's a seven-year famine that's coming. And so you need to move. And so she actually moved, and we see in 2 Kings 8, so we go four more chapters forward, in verse 3 it says, after the famine ended, she returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to see the king about getting back her house and land. As she came in, the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. The king had just said, tell me some stories about the great things Elisha has done. Verse 5, and Gehazi was telling the king about the time Elisha had brought a boy back to life. At that very moment, the mother of the boy walked in. Don't we serve an on-time God? I'm talking, we serve an on-time God. So many times we don't quite understand his processes. We don't understand how he works. But I want you to know his timing is always perfect, is it not? Any time that I've tried to like figure it out and give God suggestions on how he should do things, and he basically tells me to just hush, his timing always works out better than mine. Amen. It says his ways are higher than ours in the Word of God. But check it out. It says, at that very moment, the mother of the boy walked in to make her appeal to the king about her house and land. Look, my lord, the king, Gehazi exclaimed, here is the woman now, and this is her son, the very one Elisha brought back to life. Verse 6, is it true? The king asked, and she told him the story. So he directed one of his officials to see that everything, somebody say everything, everything she had lost was restored to her, including the value of any crops that had been harvested during her absence. Come on, just listen to me for a minute. The favor of God was so strong on her that they moved away for a famine. While they were away, the money that was made on her property had to be given to her. That is the favor of God, somebody. And I want you to know, as you being his child, the same favor is on you as well. Amen? But you got to stick with God, somebody. You got to stick with him. And so she sees this place of blessing. She's walking in the blessing of God. Understand this. God will restore what the enemy has stolen from you in your life. But you got to stick with God. Amen? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you got to stick with God. Whenever we're faithful in these seasons, we're going to see answers come in our life. But not only that, I'm believing today that you're going to see answers with interest. Come on, like it's just building interest. While you're in this place of what we sometimes call at our church, faith holding time. Like we know it's of God, but we're just holding on. We're just standing. We've just got our faith. And we may be contending for what could be months. It could be for years. But we're just believing that that answer that's coming, it's just building interest. It's even going to be greater than what we've dreamed of. Amen? And so right now, I just speak that over you today. Come on, everybody, if you will, just bow your heads. Just close your eyes. I just want to talk with you just for a minute. If you're in a place kind of like this woman today, and you're at this place of maybe you've lost hope for something in your life that you know is of God. I gave you some examples earlier, but I don't know what your situation is. Can you just quickly just lift your hand up? Come on, if that's you, if you feel like, man, this thing that I've been dreaming of, apparently, you know, you've just lost hope. If that's you, amen, we see those hands. Thank you. Maybe you're in that place today. We're believing that God's going to bring that to pass, amen? That he's going to bring it to pass. Once again, answers with interest. I just heard the Holy Spirit say this, that for those of you that have been praying about children and you've not seen it come right now, Father, we speak to these bodies right now, God, and we say do a supernatural work in them. God, we claim children in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that it's your desire, Father, that we're fruitful, Lord, that we multiply. Lord, for the couples, Father, that have been believing for children, God, right now, do a work. Do a work right now in their lives, God. Do a work. If you're in that place of battling, kind of like her, maybe you've got a child that's not walking with the Lord. Maybe something's going on with your health. Maybe your marriage is just in the tank. If it's not good, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to hold on to the promises of God. knowing that you can still live that abundant life, knowing that, God still wants to bless you, knowing that God can still turn that situation around for good in your life. And we believe that you're just going to move to that place of blessing. Come on today, if you will, just lift your hands, every one of you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you, God, for the promise that you can make all things, God, work together for our good. Lord, the good, the bad, the ugly. Father, the things that we don't understand at times, why they ever happened the way that they did. But Lord, today we say we trust you. God, we're sticking with you. God, we're moving forward in faith. Lord, knowing that you're going to come through. God, we're believing for answers with interest right now. God, we're believing for breakthrough, Lord, in these situations today, God. Come on, whatever that is, just for a moment. Come on, we're just going to spend a little bit of time with the Lord. Whatever that is, I want you to just, right now, just speak it to the Lord. You don't have to speak it out loud, but just say, Lord, this is the thing, Lord, we're believing for today. And God, I just say, move on behalf, Lord, of everyone here in the mighty name of Jesus. God, give us clarity that we always remember your word, that, Lord, it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God, but your desire for us is that we have that abundant life. Lord, as your children, you want to see the best for us. So, Father, help us to remember that in Jesus' mighty name. I just want to speak to you today. He's not going to waste any season that you walk through. He won't waste any season that you walk through. Lord, we give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory for what you're doing here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand today? Amen. God bless you. Thank you.